Please be seated. And if you have your Bible or a Bible app with you, I invite you to pull it out at this time. We're going to be in John chapter 3, looking at verses 16 through 21. We are working through the Gospel of John. We have been for a number of weeks now, focused on the life and ministry of Jesus, the one who brought us eternal life, or as some have said, deep, lasting life. Let's pick our story up again in John chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Please pray with me. Lord God, we give you thanks for this morning and our chance to be gathered together in worship. We give you thanks for your presence here and that you have invited us to be in this space. We ask that the way in which we are worshiping you today, in our prayers and our singing and our focus upon your scripture, would bring you the glory that you deserve. We thank you for the people around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of faith who we walk with in this world as we trust in you and as we enjoy together the deep, lasting life that you've given us. I pray that in these next few minutes, as we focus upon your scripture, this portion of the Gospel of John, that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. I pray you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray you'd give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this section of our story comes on the heels of Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus. Some commentators look at this passage and they say, well, this is Jesus sort of explaining a little bit more about what he had said to Nicodemus in the first place. But if you look closely at the text, it looks rather like John, the author of our gospel, is helping to explain or unpack a little bit of what Jesus had been teaching Nicodemus about this concept of being born again. I'd like to work backward today in our passage. I want to start with John's discussion regarding light and regarding condemnation, and then work our way backward to John 3, verse 16. So let's talk about light from verses 19 through 21. We read, this is the verdict, meaning this is the real story, but there's a bit of a play on words here because we've just finished talking about condemnation. This is the verdict, condemnation. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I want you to notice a few things about that statement. First of all, the light that's being referred to is Jesus. Jesus has come into the world. This is all about his incarnation. And more than just his incarnation, the power of his earthly ministry as he begins step by step to reveal the love of the Father to the entire world. Notice as well why people love darkness, according to John. If we look at verse 20, we read, everyone who is evil hates the light. But that's not actually what he says. He doesn't say everyone who is evil. He says everyone who does evil. Why won't they come into the light? Because of their fear. Their fear of being exposed. Elenchthe is the word that he uses in Greek. It means exposure, shame, conviction. We can relate to this. When we've done something wrong, we don't like it to be exposed. We don't want to face that light and have others know what we've done. We shy away from attention. And what's being described here is the human condition. We all do evil from time to time. It's just built into us. And when we do, we shy away, just as John describes here. But then look at verse 21. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. A more literal translation of lives by the truth says those who do the truth. And this is actually a Semitic expression, which means to act faithfully, to act honorably. It describes a way of life, not just a way of thinking. What John and what Jesus are describing for us here is a life that is lived in the light. It's not just, oh, I see the light. I understand the light. I can see that the light is good. I can see that I shouldn't be in the darkness. But it's what does it look like to live in the light? It's a way of life. John adds, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Well, what does this mean? God doesn't need light to see our deeds. What this describes is no more need for hiding. Good and bad are seen by all, especially by our Heavenly Father. But we are being invited into a life that is covered by grace, where we no longer need to cower in the darkness or hide from anyone, because Jesus, in his love, has reached out to us and redeemed us, brought forgiveness, and made us new. So how do we get from verse 20, those who do evil, who are in the dark, to the light that's described for us in verse 21? I think we start by admitting we really are lost. Look back at verses 17 to 18. They describe some good news, great news, actually. And it's great news because it describes what we're saved from. Verse 18 says, whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Listen to that again. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus came to rescue people who were already in that state, who were already condemned. Jesus didn't throw us into the stormy sea so that he could then be the one who rescues us. We were already lost at sea, already without a hope in the world, already about to go under, and it was in that state that Jesus reached in and rescued us all. Why then is the church seen by an unbelieving world as so judgmental? Especially if that's not our job. It's a question worth considering, isn't it? Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to rescue and save. The church then is not called to do anything beyond what Jesus did or different than what Jesus did. The church is called to love and to rescue those around us, to reach out with that love and with that grace and with that mercy, and yet judgment comes so often. Why is the church seen as so judgmental? Well, we can start to solve this by reminding ourselves that God's love is behind it all. God's love is behind it all. That's the essence of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I remember as a child watching football games, and there was always that guy. I don't know if it was the same guy every time, but there was always that guy in the end zone, right? He has this sign that says John 3:16, and I just remember thinking, is that the most effective thing to do? Like on national TV, rather than having the words of the verse, you have the reference of the verse, and there's a lot of great verses in the Bible. John 3:16, that's it, right? That's all you've got. This is, again, as a child, as a young person, but when I settle into this verse today, I know exactly why it was that verse. Because if there's any verse in all of Scripture that should be held up for the world to see that describes the essence of the love and the grace and the mercy that our God has for us and for everyone, that is the verse. It emphasizes the love that is behind it all. And truly, this verse is the heart of the Gospel of John, the heart of the mission of God. Let's consider just for a moment the parts of this verse. It begins with the word for, and that's important because that word connects John 3:16 to the Nicodemus story, indicating that what is about to be described is the reason we need to be born again, the reason for all of the things that Jesus was describing to that religious leader. For God so loved, reminding us that love is behind it all. Not holiness, not indignation, not anger, not judgment, not condemnation, but love. Love is what motivates it all. For God so loved. For God so loved the world. Cosmos is the Greek word that John chose there for world, and it can be defined as the realm of humanity arrayed in opposition to God. Think about that for a second. Not just the population of the world, but also the systems of the world. The realm of humanity arrayed in opposition to God, for God so loved this realm of humanity. This is no limited atonement. This is no selective love. This is a love that is as large as the world and as large as even its systems that oppose God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You ready for a little extra Greek this morning? Some extra credit in the Greek language? Look at those words up on the screen. The tense of the word gave in the phrase, he gave us his one and only son, is something known as the aorist punctiliar. And the aorist punctiliar is a form of past tense a Greek writer can use to indicate something that happened in the past that settles something once and for all. So it is a permanent change that has taken place when this thing happened in the past. And on purpose, John chose that tense, for he gave his one and only son. Theologian Dale Bruner says, this verb in this tense makes the love of God an historical event. Wow. Think on that for a moment. This verb in this tense makes the love of God an historical event. That once and for all event that took place all of those years ago affects you and affects me every morning when we wake. Every decision that we make, every way that we choose to live in this world impacted always and forever because of that aorist punctiliar gave that took place all of those thousands of years ago. This verb in this tense makes the love of God an historical event. There's power in this. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes, meaning anyone can do this, anyone can choose to believe, whoever believes, not being just a past tense belief, but the belief we talked about last week, that ongoing trust day after day, that whoever believes shall not perish. Romans 8:1 tells us, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. That deep, lasting life. A quality of life, not just a length of life, that is expressed every single day in the way that we live by trust. Coming into the light begins with the simple expression of faith. A step out of darkness, realizing there's no need to hide anymore. Realizing that the power of this love and this grace and mercy at work inside of us is bigger than anything else we face and anything else that we've ever done. And realizing that by coming into the light, we live in the deep, lasting life that every single one of us was made for. One commentator says of all of this, the gospel is as wide as the world, but as narrow as each who believes in Jesus. I don't like that word narrow. It sounds exclusive. How about we say the gospel is as wide as the world, but as personal as each who believes in Jesus. This is the scope of God's love and the scope of the gospel and the power of that love that he awakens inside each of us. Because Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to rescue you and me. Following after what Jesus teaches here and stepping into the light ourselves means that we too, we're not extinguishers of sin in this world. We're not those who walk around condemning people who don't seem to be doing it right, but instead, we are dispensers of grace who have the privilege of sharing this love with other people and welcoming them to step into the light to enjoy this same deep and lasting life that you and that I and that everyone in this world are made for. This is the joy of the love that our God expresses for you and for me. And we get to be a part. Amen? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, help us to absorb this. Help us to absorb this love that has been turned into history. Irrevocable history Nothing that can ever change your love for us and the embrace that you offer to us. And set us free from the smallness of our human systems, where we're so obsessed with who's in and who's out. We're so concerned about our own status that we constantly compare ourselves with others. You want to set us free from that. You want to remind us that everyone's invited, and that you're the one who is inviting. And that you don't want us to cower in the dark. You want us to stand in confidence in the light of your love. Jesus, we desire to live in that way. And Jesus, we desire to love others in that way. Empower us to do each. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.